The American public has misunderstood suicide terrorism for years. That's the message of a new book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. It's by Robert Pape, who is a political scientist at the University of Chicago. Robert Pape created the Chicago Project on Suicide Terrorism, which has compiled an extensive database on each of the suicide terrorist attacks that has occurred in the last 25 years. The results reveal suicide terrorism to be a very effective weapon in highly focused political struggles. NPR's Mike Schuster has the first of two reports.
There were 315 suicide terrorist attacks around the world between 1980 and 2003. These were attacks where suicide bombers blew themselves up to kill other people. The attacks occurred in many places: Lebanon, Israel, Sri Lanka, Turkey, and of course the United States. The Chicago Project on Suicide Terrorism has accumulated as much detail as possible about each attack. Robert Pape, the project's director, says the data reveals some unexpected patterns, especially on the causes and goals of these attacks.
What over 95% of all suicide terrorist attacks around the world have in common is not religion, but a common strategic objective: to compel a modern democracy to withdraw military forces from the territory that the terrorists view as their homeland.
At bottom, Pape says suicide terrorism emerges at some point in a national liberation struggle against an overwhelmingly powerful enemy from a democratic state. Those who lead suicide terrorist campaigns see democracies as soft, Pape says, likely to buckle under the strain of such attacks. This is the case, he argues, from Hezbollah's attacks on American targets in Lebanon in the 1980s through al-Qaeda's attacks on the U.S. more recently.
The purpose of suicide terrorism is not to die, but to kill. To kill the maximum number of people in the target country in order to cause that target society to put pressure on its government to change its policies.
The Chicago Project found that suicide attacks are an unusually effective weapon. The 315 suicide attacks between 1980 and 2003 constituted only 3% of all the world's terrorist attacks in that period, but resulted in nearly half of the fatalities from those attacks. Daniel Byman, a terrorism scholar at Georgetown University, agrees that suicide attacks are especially deadly.
Suicide bombing works. It's effective in terms of lethality, and more generally, it allows a degree of precision in attacks that historically has been very difficult for terrorist groups. I would say that that benefit applies not just to fighting wars of perceived national liberation, but also for any other desire of a terrorist group.
Pape argues that religious fundamentalism does not cause suicide bombing, but religion, he says, becomes an important factor when there are religious differences between the occupying power and the lands under occupation. This then causes the wider community to fear for its continued existence, making recruitment of suicide terrorists easier. This pattern is clearly evident in the Palestinian territories. The Chicago Project's database also reveals that most suicide terrorists, including 71 who died in al-Qaeda attacks between 1995 and 2003, are not depressed or mentally ill, nor do they come from impoverished circumstances, as is commonly assumed. In fact, they are often some of society's best educated. Scott Atran agrees. He is a terrorism scholar at the University of Michigan.
Most of the people who do this are fairly well off, fairly educated, from middle-class families, some from upper-class families. They're idealists. They believe what they're doing is for the sake and the good of their people.
Robert Pape's analysis is controversial. Jessica Stern is the author of Terror in the Name of God. From an analysis of Osama bin Laden's speeches, she is not convinced that his central purpose is to force the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Arab or Muslim nations.
He includes forcing U.S. troops out of Saudi Arabia, but he also really emphasizes more than anything else an economic impact on the United States. He's virtually obsessed with the economic impact of his attacks on the U.S. and thrilled by the economic impact of our war in Iraq on the U.S.
But Pape notes that bin Laden did not initiate attacks against the U.S. until after the U.S. first sent troops to Saudi Arabia in 1990 to confront Iraq's invasion of Kuwait.
He clearly believes that the presence of American forces on the Arabian Peninsula is his central mobilization appeal. Osama may still want to attack us afterwards, but what the pattern of the last 25 years shows is, in fact, that suicide terrorist organizations have a hard time running a suicide campaign when those forces go home.
The Chicago Project on Suicide Terrorism has also been compiling data on suicide attacks in Iraq since 2003, and that is the subject of our second report tomorrow. Mike Schuster, NPR News.